Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks, where we talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, we're in LifeWord Studios, broadcasting in 127 countries in over 175 languages to a potential listening audience of 3 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Today, I want to discuss what I believe is one of the most greatest challenges facing both our culture and our churches. It's not politics. It's not finances. It's not even declining church attendance. It's not even the theological battles that often dominate headlines. A few years ago, the former U.S. Surgeon General described loneliness as a public health epidemic. Researchers continue to discover something many people already know from personal experience. We live in the most connected age in human history. Yet many people feel profoundly disconnected. We can communicate with people around the world instantly. We can text, we can email, we can video chat, and interact on social media 24 hours a day, yet countless people still go to bed every night feeling unseen, unknown, and alone. What concerns me most is that this epidemic has found its way into the church. Some of the loneliest people in America are not outside the church. They're in the church. They sit in our pews. They sing in our choirs. They serve on committees. They volunteer in ministries, and they attend faithfully every week. Yet when asked how they're doing, they smile and say, "I'm fine." Yet beneath that smile is a deep ache for human connection. Many people are surrounded by others and still feel completely alone. And so today I want us to look at loneliness through both a biblical and mental health lens. I believe the Bible has much to say about this issue, and I believe the church has a unique opportunity to provide hope in a world that desperately needs it. Before we discuss solutions, we need to understand what loneliness really is. Loneliness is not simply being alone. There's a difference between solitude and loneliness. Solitude can actually be healthy. Jesus frequently withdrew from crowds. He spent time alone with his Father. There are seasons when solitude refreshes us spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Loneliness is something completely different. Loneliness is the distress that occurs when there's a gap between the relationships we desire and the relationships we actually have. A person can be physically alone and not feel lonely. A person can also be surrounded by hundreds of people, yet feel desperately lonely. And at its core, loneliness is about connection. It's the feeling that nobody truly knows you. Nobody truly understands what's happening inside your heart. Nobody sees the struggles you carry. One writer described loneliness as the pain of feeling unseen. And I suspect many people listening today understand exactly what that feels like. Now, the first thing that Scripture teaches us about loneliness may surprise some people. The first problem identified in the Bible was not sin. It was isolation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone." Think about that statement. It was made before the fall, before death, before suffering, before disease, before sin entered the world. In a perfect creation, God looked at Adam and said something was not good. And what was it? Loneliness. That tells us something important about human beings. We were created for relationship. We were designed for community. We were made to know others and to be known by others. Why? because we are created in the image of a relational God. God exists eternally as a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Relationship is woven into the very fabric of creation. This means loneliness is more than an unpleasant feeling. It's a signal that something God designed us to need is missing. Loneliness is not merely a modern problem. The Bible is filled with lonely people. Consider David. David was a king. He had soldiers, servants, advisors, and friends. Yet in Psalm chapter 25, verse 16, he prayed, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." David understood loneliness. Consider Jeremiah. He faithfully proclaimed God's message, yet was ridiculed, rejected, and isolated because of his obedience. Or maybe consider Job. After unimaginable loss, he found himself increasingly alone. And even his closest friends failed to provide the support he desperately needed. Then there's Elijah. One of the greatest spiritual victories recorded in Scripture, Elijah found himself sitting beneath the juniper tree asking God to take his life. One of the most revealing statements he made was, "I, even I only, am left." God later informed Elijah that 7,000 others had not bowed their knees to Baal. Elijah was not actually alone, but loneliness had distorted his perception. That remains one of loneliness's greatest dangers. It lies to us. It tells us nobody understands. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. Nobody would miss us. And when isolation persists long enough, those lies become increasingly believable. And that brings us to the modern church. One of the greatest misconceptions many have is that the church attendance automatically creates connection, but it does not. A person can attend church faithfully for years and still feel unknown. They may know dozens of names, yet no one truly knows them. Churches often do a wonderful job of gathering crowds. We're not always as successful at building community. The truth is that proximity does not automatically create connection. You see, relationships require trust. They require time. Relationships require vulnerability. Relationships require shared experiences. Many Christians have learned how to present a polished version of themselves. When someone asks how they are doing, the answer is often automatic: fine, good, blessed, even when life is falling apart. And as a result, people sit side by side every Sunday, carrying burdens nobody knows about. The church can slowly become a gathering of strangers who just so happen to worship in the same room. And that is not God's vision for Christian community. The New Testament church shared life together. We see that they prayed together. They encouraged one another. They carried one another's burdens. They wept together, rejoiced together. They functioned as a family. And families know one another. Families notice when someone is hurting. Families make room for honesty. They pursue one another. The church was never intended to be merely an event we attend. It was intended to be a community to which we belong. So, why are so many people lonely today? There are several reasons. One is that attendance is not the same as belonging. A person could sit in the same sanctuary every week and feel disconnected. Belonging requires something more. It requires relationships, trust. It requires people who know your story. Another reason is fear. Most people desire connection, but connection requires vulnerability. To be known means allowing people to see who we really are. And that could be frightening. Many people fear judgment or rejection or criticism. And so as a result, they wear masks. Some hide behind humor. Some hide behind busyness, some behind ministry activity, some hide behind spiritual language, but a mask is still a mask. The tragedy is that while masks may protect us from rejection, they also prevent genuine intimacy. People can only connect with the version of us that we allow them to see. If nobody sees the real person, real connection becomes impossible. Technology has also contributed to this problem. Technology itself is not evil, it is a tool. It allows families to stay connected and ministries to reach people around the world. Yet technology can create the illusion of connection. A person may have hundreds or thousands of online friends and still have nobody to call during a crisis. They may receive dozens of likes on a post and still feel invisible. Social media often provides visibility without intimacy, awareness without relationship, information without connection. It can even intensify loneliness by encouraging comparison. We know that comparison is the thief of joy. People compare their ordinary lives to someone else's highlight reel. They begin believing everyone else is happy, everyone else is connected and thriving. Meanwhile, they feel isolated in their struggles. The truth is, many of those smiling faces are struggling too. Loneliness often hides behind appearances. Yet another contributor is busyness. Modern life moves at an exhausting pace. Work, school, sports, appointments, meetings, activities, practices, events. The schedule never seems to stop. But busyness creates the illusion of productivity while quietly starving our relationships. Meaningful relationships require time. Friendships require time. Community requires time. And many people simply do not leave room for those things anymore. One of the greatest threats to relationships is not conflict, it's neglect. Relationships slowly weaken when they're not intentionally nurtured. The result is a culture where people are busier than ever and lonelier than ever, and the consequences are significant. And so as we continue to talk on loneliness, we now come to an important reality. Loneliness is not merely an uncomfortable emotion. It has consequences, serious consequences. In fact, many researchers now recognize chronic loneliness as one of the most significant health concerns facing our society. Many people think loneliness simply makes people sad, but the reality is much deeper than that. Loneliness affects our emotional health, our mental health, even our physical health, our spiritual health, our relational health. When loneliness becomes chronic, it begins affecting the entire person. And to understand why loneliness is so powerful, we must remember something we discussed earlier. God designed us for relationship. Community is not simply something we enjoy, it is something we need. When God created humanity, he built within us emotional, relational, social, and spiritual needs. When those needs go unmet, something inside us recognizes that something is wrong. Think about hunger, for example. Hunger is unpleasant, but it serves a purpose. It tells us our body needs nourishment. Loneliness functions in the same way. It tells us we need meaningful connections. The problem occurs when loneliness becomes chronic. Just as prolonged hunger causes damage to the body, prolonged loneliness damages the mind, emotions, and your spirit. One of the strongest findings in mental health research is the connection between loneliness and depression. Now, loneliness and depression are not the same thing. A person can be lonely without being clinically depressed. A person can be depressed without feeling lonely. However, loneliness often creates fertile soil in which depression grows. Why? Because loneliness affects the way we think. When people remain isolated for long periods of time, they often begin believing things that simply are not true. They may believe no one cares about them or no one notices them, no one understands them, and no one would miss them if they were gone. They believe that they don't matter. Those thoughts create emotional pain, and that pain often leads to withdrawal. Withdrawal creates more loneliness. More loneliness creates more sadness, and then the cycle continues. Many people who struggle with depression describe feeling invisible. And that sense of invisibility is rooted in loneliness. Loneliness is also strongly connected to anxiety. When people lack meaningful support system, life feels more threatening. Problems feel bigger. Challenges feel heavier. Setbacks feel more overwhelming. We are remarkably resilient when we face hardships together. But when people feel they're carrying every burden alone, even ordinary difficulties can become overwhelmingly. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow." There's wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom in that verse. Life is simply harder when we carry everything by ourselves. Loneliness also affects our physical health. Many people are surprised by that, yet it makes perfect sense. The mind and the body are deeply connected. People experiencing chronic loneliness often report poor sleep, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, increased stress, reduced energy. The body responds to prolonged loneliness almost as though it's facing a constant threat. Stress hormones remain elevated, the nervous system remains activated, and the result is exhaustion. Many lonely individuals feel tired all the time, even when they've done nothing physically demanding. Their body is carrying an invisible burden. Loneliness also plays a significant role in grief. Many grieving people describe feeling as though the world has moved on while they remain stuck. Immediately after a loss, support often pours in. Meals arrive, cards arrive, visitors arrive, phone calls. Then life returns to normal for everyone else. But the grieving person is still grieving because the spouse is still gone. The child, the parent, the friend is still gone. And many people report that loneliness becomes most intense months after the funeral. That's when the calls stop, the visitors stop. That's where the silence begins. This is one reason the church must learn to provide long-term support rather than short-term sympathy. Loneliness can also create shame. A lonely person often begins asking unhealthy questions. They may ask, "What's wrong with me? Why doesn't anyone want to spend time with me? Why don't I belong?" Eventually, loneliness shifts from something a person feels to something that they believe about themselves. Instead of saying, "I feel lonely," they begin saying, "I'm unwanted." That shift is dangerous because loneliness has now become shame, and shame isolates, it hides, it withdraws. Shame convinces people they are fundamentally flawed. And the gospel speaks directly against that lie. Our value is not determined by our popularity. Our value is determined by the God who created us and the Savior who died for us. Loneliness affects more than mental health. It affects our spiritual health as well. Many lonely Christians begin to question God's presence. They pray, yet they feel unheard. They attend worship and feel disconnected. They read scriptures and feel discouraged. Some begin wondering if God has abandoned them. Yet Scripture repeatedly reminds us otherwise. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Notice what God promises here. It's not just help. It's not merely provision or blessing. He promises His presence. Loneliness often makes God's presence difficult to perceive. But perception and reality are not always the same thing. Just as Elijah believed he was completely alone when he was not, lonely believers often misinterpret their circumstances. Their feelings are real, but their conclusions may not be. There is another reality we must discuss carefully. Loneliness is one of the most significant risk factors associated with suicidal thinking. Now, not every lonely person becomes suicidal. Most do not. However, many individuals who contemplate ending their lives describe feeling disconnected from others. They believe that nobody cares. Nobody notices them. Nobody needs them. No one would miss them. That is why simple acts of connection matter. A simple phone call, a visit, a text message, a conversation, an invitation to lunch. Those things may seem small to us, but to a lonely person, they may communicate something life-changing. "You matter. I see you. You're not alone." Now, let's talk about the people most vulnerable to loneliness within our churches. Senior adults often experience profound loneliness. Retirement removes daily interaction. Health problems limit mobility. Friends pass away. Family members move on. Social circles shrink. One of the saddest statements I hear from older adults is this: "Everyone I knew is gone." That reality should move us to compassion. Widows and widowers often face another painful form of loneliness. That empty chair, the empty side of the bed, the missing conversations, the silence. The church often does an excellent job immediately following a funeral, but loneliness frequently intensifies weeks and months later. Single adults can also feel isolated. Churches naturally emphasize families, marriage, and parenting. And those things are important, but single adults sometimes feel overlooked. Whether never married, divorced, or widowed, they need belonging just as much as anyone else. Teenagers are another vulnerable group. Despite constant digital communication, many young people struggle with profound loneliness. And social media has connected them technologically while often isolating them emotionally. They need mentors, relationships. They need adults who genuinely care. Caregivers often suffer quietly as well. Whether caring for aging parents, chronically ill spouses, or children with special needs, caregiving can be emotionally exhausted. Many caregivers become isolated simply because they have little time or energy left for relationships. Pastors and ministry leaders frequently experience loneliness too. And many people know their public ministry, but few know their private struggles. They spend their lives carrying the burdens of others while often having very few safe places to share their own. People battling depression, anxiety, trauma, and other mental health struggles often experience isolation as well. Fear of judgment keeps many suffering in silence. The church should be one of the safest places in the world for honest conversations about mental health. Let me say that again. The church should be one of the safest places in the world for honest conversations about mental health. Not because we have all of the answers, but because we understand grace. So what can we do? How can churches become places where loneliness is confronted rather than ignored? The first step is moving beyond attendance as our primary measure of success. A church can be crowded and still be lonely. The real question is not simply how many people attend. The question is whether people are connected. Do they belong? Do they have relationships? Do they have people who know their story? This is why small groups, Sunday school classes, Bible studies, ministry teams, and discipleship relationships are so important. Large gatherings inspire, small gatherings connect. Both are necessary. Churches must also learn the ministry of presence. Many lonely people are not asking for answers, they're asking for companionship. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is simply show up, to sit with someone, to listen, to pray, to be available. People often remember presence long after they forget advice. We must also learn to ask better questions. Too many church conversations remain superficial. How are you? Fine. How have you been? Good. How's the family? Doing well. Conversation over. What if we asked deeper questions? How can I pray for you? What's been the hardest part of your week? What burden are you carrying right now? How are you really doing? Those questions open doors to meaningful connections. Churches must also become places where authenticity is welcome. Loneliness strives where people feel they must pretend. Loneliness weakens where honesty is safe. Imagine a church where people could honestly say, I'm struggling, I'm grieving, I'm discouraged, I'm anxious, I'm lonely. And instead of judgment, they receive compassion. That, I believe, is the kind of community Christ envisioned. Now, let me speak directly to the lonely Christian listening today. Perhaps you've attended church for years, and you still feel disconnected. Maybe you've prayed for friendships, and nothing seems to change. Perhaps you feel unseen, forgotten, overlooked. The first step is honesty. Tell God the truth. Pray the simple prayer, Lord, I'm lonely. God is not intimidated by honesty. The Psalms are filled with honest prayers. Healing often begins where honesty begins. Second, I do not believe the lie that loneliness means God has abandoned you. There's a difference between feeling abandoned and actually being abandoned. As we mentioned earlier, David felt abandoned. Elijah felt abandoned. Job felt abandoned, yet God had not left them. Your feelings are real, but they are not always reliable interpreters of reality. Third, take initiative. This may be difficult. Loneliness often makes people passive. We wait for someone else to call, for someone else to invite, for someone else to notice. Sometimes God calls us to make the first move. Join the group. Attend the Bible study. Volunteer. Introduce yourself. Invite someone to lunch. Relationships rarely develop without intentional effort. Number four. Focus on developing a few deep relationships rather than many shallow ones. You do not need dozens of close friends. You need a handful of meaningful connections. Depth matters more than quality. And finally, stay connected. Loneliness tells people to withdraw, to stop attending, stop participating, stop trusting. Stop trying. Yet healing often requires moving in the opposite direction. Stay engaged. Stay involved. Stay present, even when it feels awkward, even when it feels difficult. Now we come to the most important question. What does the gospel say about loneliness? Christianity offers something unique. It teaches that humanity's deepest loneliness is spiritual. Sin separated us from God. The deepest longing of the human heart is ultimately a longing for fellowship with its Creator. This explains why some people have everything. They have friends, success, popularity, achievements, and yet still feel empty. Our heart was created for God. And until that relationship is restored, something remains missing. The beautiful truth of Christianity is that Jesus entered human loneliness. Jesus was misunderstood, rejected, betrayed, denied, abandoned. In Gethsemane, his closest friends fell asleep when he needed them the most. At his arrest, they fled. On the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus entered our darkness so we could enter his fellowship. He experienced separation so we could experience reconciliation. He was treated as an outcast so we could become children of God. Because of Jesus Christ, believers are never truly abandoned. They may feel lonely, but they're not alone. The church is called the family of God. not an organization, not an institution, a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, pray for one another, walk with one another. That is God's answer to loneliness within the church. And there is one final promise. Loneliness will not last forever. One day Christ will return. Suffering will end. Grief will end. Separation will end. One day every believer will experience perfect fellowship with God and one another. No isolation, no abandonment, no rejection, no loneliness. Until that day, we have an opportunity to notice the unseen, to welcome the forgotten, to encourage the discouraged, to include the isolated, to love people the way Christ has loved us. The loneliness epidemic is real, but so is the hope found in Jesus Christ. You may feel alone, but you're not abandoned. You may feel forgotten, but you're remembered by God. You may feel unseen, but you are fully seen by your Heavenly Father, and because of Jesus Christ, you'll never walk alone. Friend, I pray that you take these words today, and if you're feeling alone, stand on the promise that He'll never leave you or forsake you. Thank you for being with us here today. I'm Doc Brian. You can find me at thedocbrian.com. Broadcasting day from LifeWord. You can find all of our Christian content at lifeword.org. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope this podcast has helped you. Have a great day. And remember, you're not alone. Goodbye.